The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Wednesday's racing on this edition, and you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Darren Owen, Rory Delaghi and Gareth Topham in the studio. It's the first day of the St Ledger meeting at Doncaster. We also have Carlisle on the flat alongside that, a new Toxeter over Jumps on Wednesday afternoon. Into the evening we have all weather racing at Kempton, and there's action over in Ireland from Galway, a national hunt card there. So five meetings to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio is Andy Holding. How are you, Andy?
Mark Walton. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, all right, mate. Yeah, sweltering. Yeah. Just been walking around Leeds city centre for some lunch and, yeah, sweat's dripping off me. Incredible.
Makes a nice change. The weather's all right at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah, and, put a jumper on as well. I could muck
it. Oh, dear.
And a schoolboy error.
What a mistake.
Oh, no.
It's amazing.
I asked for it, really, didn't I? Yeah.
Good weekend coming up, good few days coming up with Doncaster starting on Wednesday and obviously culminating in the St Ledger at the weekend, the final classic of the season. And, yeah, good few days coming up, Andy.
Yeah, looking forward to it, yeah. I do like the Ledger meeting. It's always had a soft spot in my affections because I used to go to the Ledger pretty much every year when I was a kid, going way back in the day when Comanche Run won for Luca Kamani, of course, with Lester Pigott's record-breaking classic ride. That was a phenomenal day. And yeah, plenty of good horses down the way. So yeah, it's a race I used to go to a lot. Not so many visits nowadays through other commitments.
Yeah.
But I still enjoy the final classic of the year.
Good. We'll get Andy's thoughts on the St Ledger on this edition of the podcast. But before we get there, we'll just talk about a bit of news. We'll also be hearing from Dale Gibson as well. He's riding in the Ledger Legends race on Wednesday, and he's going to give us a few of his thoughts there and about the cause. It's obviously a great cause that it supports, and we'll find out more about that shortly. Bit of news to start with, Andy. Frankie Dettori, I imagine he'll be pretty disappointed that he's lost the ride on Trave. Cricket head Marek has opted to put Thierry Janet back on board.
Yeah, it's an odd one, really. Obviously, it's a decision which has been well thought out by Cricket Head. She wouldn't have made that decision lightly. But I think although Frankie's disappointed, by the sound of it, it's fairly amicable. She's obviously had a good chat with Frankie. She hasn't gone by his back and said,
"No,
right, I'm doing this and that's it." And Frankie's probably had no say. And hopefully Frankie will take it well. It's obviously going to be a slight dent to his ego. But I think the thought process that Thierry Janet has got such a great association with the mayor, then perhaps reassociating her with him might just bring about a slight change of fortune. It's not as if Trev's run badly for Frankie, but obviously hasn't quite been the massive success story that we thought it would be. So, although it's a little bit like, you know, putting Wayne Rooney or you know, a big name on the bench at the expense of someone else. Perhaps it isn't such a great shocker or the worst decision ever. Let's face it, he is 4-for-4 on the horse.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Unbeaten on yeah. And won the Arcona last year as well.
Exactly.
Frankie was injured. Yeah. So okay, that's the news with regards to the favourite for the Arc at the moment. Staying at Doncaster, concentrating on the St Ledger, Andy. We're likely to see the largest field we've seen in the Staying Classic for some time, since the 80s, with probably 14 of them staying in the lineup.
It was threatening to look very much like this way from a long, long way off, wasn't it? There was no real great patterns forming, no short price favourite, nothing that's absolutely rubber stamped himself on this division. You know, the fact that Aidan O'Brien hasn't got anything of any great note in the race. He's obviously got Grand Duke of Tuscany, but he was ran moderately in the Great Voltigeur. Normally he would have one of the favourites. Obviously won it last year with Leading Light. Kingfisher, presuming that would be in there to do some kind of foot soldier duties. And you've got a lot of horses in and around rated about the same mark with not shaky profiles, but not absolutely blueprint St Ledger kind of profiles. So, It's up for grabs, and I think most of the 15 that will be declared will be there on the day as well.
Yeah. Okay. At the moment, Kingston Hill, the 5-2 favourite for the race. Snow Sky is 5-1, 6-1 for Romsdal. Winshire 7s, 12s for Hartnell. Alex, my boy, Forever Now and King's Fate are all 14s. 16s for Grand Duke of Tuscany. 20-1 for Kingfisher and Scotland. And then 33-1 or bigger prices for the others. Who do you like at the moment, Andy?
I'm a big fan of Snow Sky. He's been a model of consistency all the way through the year. He was a very good fourth to Eagle Top at Royal Ascot, having won the Lingfield Derby trial. And then he beat Winshire in probably was what one of the key trial races, the Gordon Stakes at Goodwood. I thought Winshire also caught the eye in that race, and I think he's going to be a major player as well, incidentally, on Saturday itself. But the best trial for me, certainly on the figures anyway, was the race over at York, the Great Voltigeur, which is always one of the best trials, isn't it, for the Ledger. Mm-hmm. Many winners have come out of that race over the years. In a wide open race, he was run up to the wildly impressive Luca Comani train winner postponed in a very fast time. That was the fastest time I got all week.
Right.
Of the 4 days at the Ebor meeting, postponed clocked the fastest time, furlong per furlong, with a whole week. And I thought, if you took away the winner, which is obviously not in the race, Snow Sky would have beaten the rest of the field by 8 lengths.
Yeah.
So any theories that he didn't stay, I think, can be thrown cold water on. He definitely stayed, and he stayed strongly. But obviously, he's beaten by a very hot top-class colt. You know, horses like Odeon, Mazzocco, Grand Duke of Tuscany, Red Galileo, Hartnell, Royal Ascot winner, Red Galileo, fifth in the Derby, were absolutely punch drunk at the end of that race. It was a brutal run race. They went off really fast. And there's no hesitation for me to suggest he stayed, and he stayed it well. And now Sir Michael Stout's finally laid the ghost to rest of having this winner of the Ledger, which took him a long time to obviously achieve, with Conduit winning.
Mm-hmm.
Then I think Snow Sky's, you know, sure to run his race.
Okay, Snow Sky.
So I'd be with him.
5-1, not a bad each way price bet to nothing, is it?
No, and I think Winshire down the bottom is one of the dangers, if not the main danger. He's just been incredibly good on the field. Every time he's run this season, he's turned up for the major gigs. He's always left it on the track. He's probably unlucky not to win one more than he's already won. You know, he won the weakest contest he took part in off a mark of 80 back at Sandown early in the season on soft ground. But his four runs subsequently, when he's been runner-up every time, on another day, he might have won another one of those. But he won't mind the strongly run race. He stays well. And as you can see by his form figures, he's another one. If you back him each way, you'd be disappointed if he's not getting your money back.
Yeah. Okay then, a couple against the field in the St. Ledger that takes place on Saturday, but the St. Ledger Festival starts on Wednesday, and we'll get Andy's thoughts next.
William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
Okay, on to Wednesday then, the first day of the meeting, and the first race of the meeting is the 2 o'clock, and we start here with a class 2 nursery over 7 furlongs, so it's 2-year-olds in action, 7 of them in the lineup, so maybe not the best from an each way point of view, Andy, but what do you make of this race here?
Well, usually class outs in these kind of races, and Salutine just stands out like a sore thumb, doesn't he? Comes from a yard that's in rampant form at the moment. Horses like Torrentium Star won a similar race to this the other day. Haydock, Derbyshire won the other day. Distant Pass won at Thirsk. And Gloria Waits, of course, he won that valuable prize over in, was it Turkey the other day?
Yeah.
So the yard couldn't be in better shape. And this horse has got the best form by an absolute country mile. I actually think he's quite well handicapped, actually. Now he goes back into open handicap company. That fifth in what was one of the best races of the week on the figures, the Acomb Stakes,
yep,
particularly 2-year-old wise, that was a real burn up that was. And I thought he was a creditable fifth in it. He was obviously in at the deep end, taking on Group 3 and potential maybe Group 1 horses further down the line. I don't think the form's anything other than solid. It was a strongly run race. It sorted the wheat from the chaff. Bassettine was a real strong fancy, having run a fast time the time before Doncaster. He actually ran faster that day than he did when winning his maiden at Doncaster. I got him doing an 86 on the figures, which is unbelievable for a 2-year-old. He ran to an 89 at York. The winner did a 90, which is right up there with the very best 2-year-old times this season. You know, up there with the Wow Signal and Ivorwood. You look all the way down the list. Jamaica, who was fourth, he won a good competitive maiden at Galway the time before, and he was also very strongly fancied. And you know, Prince Gagarin as well had created a really good impression on his penultimate start, and he was last of 10. Mm. He was literally taking off his feet. They went that fast. I think the win is good as well. Dutch Connection and Carl Burke thinks Too Cool for School is one of his best two-year-olds. So, in a nutshell, that was probably one of the best races run two-year-old-wise at the York Ebor meeting. And he's taken on horses who probably haven't got the class as he has. So I think Salatine's a good bet to win the opening race. Okay. For the St. Ledger meeting.
Okay, Salatine then, the class act in that opening nursery. The next race we're going to look at is the 3 o'clock, and this is the Scarborough Stakes, which is a listed race for 2 year olds and older over the 5 furlong trip. 11 of them in the lineup for this one, Andy. And what do you make of this? I mean, Reckless Abandon had been operating at a higher level than listed company, so do you see this drop in class being a good opportunity for him to get back to winning ways?
I do, yeah. I think this is an open goal for him, to be perfectly honest. You could argue that the race that he contested at Newmarket was a chance gone a-begging, but yeah, he was most likely to need the run that day, apparently. The fact that he went off 6-1, considering he'd been running in Group 2, Group 1 company, suggested that he wasn't quite 100%. It was over a trip that, you know, probably just stretches him a little bit as well, and he was up against a really good field. It was a strongly run race. Tropics obviously went into the race in good form. Alban Star been mixing it in the very highest company all the way through the season. Nadir, who was fourth, won the other day at York, boosting the form. You know, the fact that Intrinsic, who won a very good Stewards Cup this year, beating a good high class field, was only eighth.
Yeah.
And Connections were scratching their head, wondering why he didn't run his race. Well, the time of the race suggested he probably wasn't far off his best. You know, I got Tropics doing a 94 that day when he won. I know he didn't run all that well at Haydock Saturday, but the ground was probably a bit loose for him, and he needs a genuine good surface to operate on. So I don't think Reckless Abandon ran too badly there. He only got beat half a length in the nose. He's back to 5 furlongs, which ultimately is his best trip. Most of his best performances have come over 5. So he's got lots of positives, and I'd expect him to win that.
Yeah, and he had 10 months off the track, so it's perfectly feasible he would have needed the run. So
yeah, and he's going to get towed into the race nicely. He doesn't have to row his own boat here, does he? He's got B52, who's a massive front runner. Online Alexandra was always prominent when he won at York, and Demora as well, you know, goes off like the taxman's after it. So, you know, there's going to be no hiding place here, and it should set it up for the kickers, and Reckless Abandon's clash hopefully should come through.
Okay. Reckless Abandon then, the selection in the Scarborough Stakes, and the final race that Andy's going to look up for is the 410. This is a Class 2 condition stakes for 3 to 5 year olds, and it's over a mile and a quarter. Again, not the best of shapes to it from an each way perspective, Andy, but doesn't matter if you find the winner.
No, I think the ground will just be about okay. I think the first day of the meeting will just be fine for my selection here. Clom Brule, who won at this meeting last year, he won the DFS handicap off a mark of 93 for David Barron. And he beat a useful field that day, which contained the likes of Conduct and Thayer, etc., and Viewpoint. And since he's gone to Godolphin, which is a bit of an odd move, really, I wouldn't have thought a David Barron handicap would have gone to a yard such as that, but he performed to a decent level over in Maidan. And since he's come back, he's done nothing wrong, to be fair. Third behind Farage, who went on to win the John Smiths at Epsom. Then he won at Newmarket when he had his favourite conditions that day. And he ran as well as can be expected off a mark of 105 in a red-hot handicap at Sandown last time out. Again, all the right handicappers were involved in that race. So he sets a really good standard. He's top of my figures. He's got Ryan Moore on board. I know it's drying out good to soft, but it's just about okay. If it was like the last day of the meeting, I'd say he'd probably almost be a non-runner.
Mm.
But, you know, he's a course and distance winner as well, so it's hard to look beyond him, despite the claims of Nabucco, Magic Hurricane and Red Galileo. Nabucco probably wants softer ground. Magic Hurricane has got beat twice since he's won twice, and Red Galileo, although he's been running in the very highest grade, he's just not looking to know he's a winner waiting to happen.
Yeah. Okay. Clom Brule then, the selection there.
Clom Brule.
Race that Godolphin won last year. Saibin Soro won it with Out of Bounds. They also won the race back in 2007, so it's a race they know how to win as well, which is all positive stuff. Let's have a quick summary, Andy, if you'll spin us through your 3 selections for the opening day of the Ledger meeting one more time.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to be backing Salatine. He's got a good chance of being my nap, actually, because I want to get with that Aiken form. So if I nap something else, you know that I fancy him stronger than Salatine. Reckless Abandon, hopefully, will get back on track in the Scarborough Stakes. And Clom Brule, providing the ground's not drying out too much, should have too many guns for the others in that conditions race.
Okay, good stuff. Thank you very much, Andy. Enjoy it on Wednesday.
Will do. Thanks, bud.
So there you go. That's the thoughts of Andy Holding. We can now go to Dale Gibson, who will be riding in the Ledger Legends race. That takes place at 3:35 at Doncaster on Wednesday. He's going to tell us about the cause that they're supporting. It's obviously a charity race, and his thoughts on the race as well.
This is William Hill Racing Radio.
Well, we're on the eve of the St. Ledger Festival. It gets underway at Doncaster on Wednesday. And one of the features of the first day is the Ledger Legends, a race for former jockeys, which is a classified stakes over a mile, and really good entertainment to watch, and a good cause behind it as well. And one of the people heavily involved in it and will be riding the race is Dale Gibson. How are you, Dale?
Very well, thank you. Thoroughly looking forward to the fifth running, as you say. I can't believe it's we've been going as long as we have, but it's been a fantastic event. We've raised £460,000 in the last 4 years for two Northern-based charities, Jack Berry House, which many people will know about, which is the Injured Jockeys Fund Rehabilitation Centre about to be built over at Moulton, which will mirror the success of Oaksey House in Lambourne, which basically gets riders back into the saddle quicker than they normally would have been, and also is a respite centre for lots of people that are on long-term care as well. So it'll benefit a lot of people. And also redevelopment of Northern Racing College. Northern Racing College, one of the teaching schools, getting young people into racing, and they've had a lot of success over the years, and they've got a redevelopment going on there.
Yes, some great causes there, and as you mentioned, £500,000 nearly raised over the last few years. So it's been a good success, hasn't it?
It has indeed, yeah. You know, but you do forget that there's a lot of overhead with running big establishments, and you know, these operations are going to be full time, and you know, turning over a lot of individuals, both to get them going and to then get them back into the saddle. So it's the best of both worlds, really. You know, it's all about looking after those people that maybe are not as fortunate as others. But yeah, it's worked very well. We've got 470 people there for lunch tomorrow, including Sir Alex Ferguson, Michael Owen, Jilly Cooper, Jeff Boycott, Howard Webb, which could be interesting with Sir Alex, and the one and only Lester Piggott. So we've got a cross-section of sporting heroes there tomorrow, and looking forward to seeing some fresh faces in the saddle as well. Billy Newmes, who won an Oaks on Time Charter and is the work rider for See the Moon, who unfortunately was beaten the other day. He's coming over from Germany. Got Jim Colotti, who won the Cheltenham Gold Cup 3 times as a rider and this year as a trainer. We've also got Kelly Harrison, who's assisting Gay Calloway with the female contingent. And also Rodney Lappin, who's actually stood in for Brendan Powell. Brendan was going to ride, but unfortunately he can't now. So Rodney Lappin, he's super sub. But wide cross-section of people, the likes of George Duffield, who will probably ride in this race when he's 92. But George has been going at it for years, and I know he'll be keen to ride a winner of it.
Yeah, former St. Ledger winner as well, isn't he? So winning
absolutely,
jockey.
Absolutely, yes.
So.
Yeah, when you look at the cross-section of people as well, you know, Willie Ryan's won a Derby. Michael Hills has won a Derby. Leading National Hunt rider Carla Wellen won 2 Grand Nationals. And Jimmy McCarthy, obviously successfully his own right. Willie Supple, he's come back over to defend his crown. And so the likes of George, former champion Kevin Darley, who also won a St. Ledger. So, yeah, cross-section of riders, and really looking forward to it.
Yeah, and not forgetting yourself there, Dale. You take the ride on Bob. What do you make of your chances in the race?
Yeah, I mean, he's not run for quite some time. He does pull quite hard. He'll need a little bit of cover. He's drawn out wide there in stall two. Field pace is probably stand side. If you had to put a gun to my head now, I think possibly the winner will come from those that are maybe coming over to the stand side. Just looking at it, I would say that Dan Silly Dutch must have some sort of a chance for Michael Hills and David O'Mara, and possibly as well Q8 Star's been in good form, won 2 of his last 3. So it's a wide open event. Comanchero there, ridden by Kevin Darley, he'd have a chance as well. And if George Duffield can get a tune out of Tiger Jim, he's not altogether straightforward. He just tends to take quite a grip, and he's not won over a mile. It'll be first time running over a mile. But Tiger Jim, if he can maybe just get things right from stall 7, he'd have a chance as well. But we've got a number of horses that are bang on the mark of 70, which is the seeding of the race. So really pleased with how tight a race it is, really.
Yeah, it looks good. And one you haven't mentioned in there, Mixed Message, I know he's probably on the wrong side, on the draw side of things, but Willie Supple won the race last year, and Mixed Message is chasing the hat-trick. Does he come into it?
Yeah, it does. I mean, you know, it's stepping down in trip, but Brian Ellison is the master at rejuvenating some of these horses that he gets from other yards. And despite the fact that Mixed Message maybe got a step up on what's been achieved so far He could well do it. Stepping down in trip, I would imagine they'll be quite handy with him tomorrow, trying to make use of his stamina. Of the lower drawn ones, you know, he'd probably be one to keep an eye on. But we could probably make a case for any number of these. Patriotic, he won it a couple of years ago. He's been out of form, but he's still got a fair bit of ability. He couldn't rule him out either. Possibly Janab, he made all last time at Ripon. He's drawn 16. So my gut feeling is that, you know, possibly the high numbers have got it. There again, Luke Harvey, at the races, Luke Harvey, possibly he can get a tune out of Gambino. He's done nothing wrong all season, been a model of consistency, drawn in eight. So, you know, it's a tough one to call. And I think if punters are having a bet, certainly each way, there's going to be a lot of value tomorrow. I would say the favourite's going to be off 5 or 6 to 1, something like that. It'll be a lot of value trying to back one each way.
Yeah, 5 or 6 to 1 the field, I imagine, as well. And competitive, wide-open race, very entertaining as well. If I were to nail you down to maybe one or two picks that you're most worried about in the race, what would you go for?
Yeah, I think if I'd been able to sort of tailor-make it myself, I'd say Dan Silly Dutch has been a model of consistency, doesn't know how to run a bad race, drawn in 17. And I would say that Tiger Jim, I think they'll go a fair gallop, and Tiger Jim and Dan Silly Dutch would be my two.
Good stuff. Thank you very much. 3:35 on Wednesday, the Ledger Legends, one of the feature races on the first day of the St. Ledger Festival. It's a great cause and some great former jockeys in action as well. It should be a good race to look forward to, and good luck to you as well, Dale.
Thanks very much indeed.
So there you go, the thoughts of Dale Gibson. We also heard from Andy Holding, and you'll hear all of the action on Racing Radio on Wednesday from 1:50 p.m. Darren Owen, Rory Delaghi and Gareth Topham will be our team in the studio. We have this meeting from Doncaster, the first day of this year's Ledger meeting. We also have Carlisle and Uttoxeter, and Kempton and Galway will fill the action in the evening. Plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Wednesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.